Kenny Blumenfeld is with me, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, checking in during what's happening this morning. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning. How are you, Katya?
Oh, we're fine. We're in the midst of our cold, wet spring, but that's nothing new. And I'm trying to think of, we have had, you know, some more significant moisture this week. It seems like the, whether it's rain or snow, doesn't really bear that much connection to the temperature. I know it could be like 38 and snowing, or it can be 32 and sleeting. And I will say we've had a couple sunny days that are at least in the 40s. So people that need to get their outdoor work done and work on their boats are getting some of that stuff done. So that's the good news.
Yeah. Hail spring. I mean, what a season, right?
It's, yeah.
And, you know, you can do this just about any year. But, you know, your point about it could be 38 and snowing or 33 and raining, and the temperature and precipitation type don't necessarily correspond
yeah.
the way you might expect. Yeah, I mean, you know, it kind of depends how much more warm or cold air is available while it's raining. A lot of times when the precipitation falls, what happens is the process called evaporative cooling. So as rain starts to fall, some of it evaporates in the air. And, of course, as we all know, when we come out of the water, we have this kind of cooling effect, and that's the cooling of evaporation. Same thing happens in the air. So as rain falls, it will often evaporate a little bit and cool the air, and then sometimes you can actually get it to mix over with snow. It depends on how much moisture
yeah.
is in the air, and that sets something real nerdy called the wet bulb temperature, which is basically the lowest the temperature can get by evaporating water.
Oh.
And so, you know, you can only get it so cool. That's why when you come out of the lake, you don't turn into an ice cube, right? I mean, there's a limit to how cold
right.
you're going to get, and that is actually set by the amount of moisture that's in the air. So if you do come out of a lake and it's, you know, or out of a spring and it happens to be 18 below zero, you are going to turn into an ice cube. But in this time of year, sometimes you're very close to freezing. You're just above or below it. And the amount of moisture in the air might actually throw you over, so that even though it seems very close to, you know, maybe 33, 34 degrees, there might be enough moisture in the air that you can't evaporate and get things any lower than that.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have rain. So that's kind of, it's kind of the beauty of spring. And then the sun comes out and it's like, boom. Glory.
Yes. Glory days, or glory minutes, more like sometimes.
Yeah, glory minutes. We did have our fifth straight rotten Wednesday this past week.
It does seem very cyclical, I know.
Yeah, that's five in a row. They've been pretty dependable. Good news. I don't think we're going to make it to six.
Oh, that is good news. Tell us.
Yeah, I think it's because the weekend is going to take. It's going to take over.
Oh.
we've been in this kind of rhythm where you get a storm system coming through Minnesota on Tuesday. It kind of centers itself on Wednesday, and then it winds down on Thursday and maybe Friday. And we've had these, you know, the one this week was only about one day long. And so the atmosphere has already started to recover in time for the next system to build in. And this one's big. This is another big weather system coming
really?
Into Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to produce some heavy precipitation all over the northern part of the state, especially in the northern part of the state. There's actually severe weather. This will be interesting. If you look at the Storm Prediction Center's outlook right now for Saturday, they have a risk for severe thunderstorms over parts of central and northern Minnesota, not where you are. But think, you know, the Brainerd Lakes area, that area. And there's actually in that risk area, there's a reasonable tornado potential.
Huh.
And some of these areas most of these areas have ice on their lakes. And many of them still have snow on the ground, too. So that would be something. Get
yeah.
a tornado over a snowy landscape. I'm sure it's happened, but we don't have very good records of that kind of thing happening. So that's something to watch. So severe weather potential tomorrow, but really the main issue is heavy rainfall potential for much of northern and northeastern Minnesota this weekend.
And that'll melt the snow. I mean, even up north, it's probably going to be rain. Is that right? Not snow?
Yeah, it'll mostly be rain. You know, areas from International Falls down towards Grand Rapids are probably going to see a little bit more than you, and then to the west of there. But you're going to be in that half-inch to inch territory. I know that Lutzen is open for skiing this weekend. It's amazing. It's amazing. They were reporting 3 to 4 feet of snow. And, you know, this weather system that came through on Wednesday produced another 1 to 5 inches of snow, especially in the higher terrain.
Yeah.
Along the North Shore. So we're seeing, you know, just a continuation of that same pattern. So their snowpack probably held steady for the last couple days.
Yeah.
The hydrologists tell us that when you put a lot of water on a snowpack, it actually, before it melts, it ripens. And so it'll basically just absorb a lot of that water. Before you get the runoff, you'll, you know, take all the air out of the snowpack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It almost turns into ice.
Yeah, kind of turn into a slush sponge, and then that water will get released. So I'm not sure how much, that's one of the issues that the forecasters are struggling with, especially in North Dakota where there's much more snow on the ground. They know there's heavy rain coming. I mean, parts of northwestern Minnesota, North Dakota are going to get 2 to 4 inches of rain.
Whoa.
Over this weekend.
Yeah.
And also about out in western North Dakota, they're going to get 1 to 2 feet of snow. They're just having an interesting situation out there. But there's so much snow filling the ditches that their forecast isn't actually for the rivers to flood.
Yeah.
Because the water's not going to make it to the rivers because it's going to get backed up by all the snow in the ditches. So instead, just kind of general low-level overland flooding where the low-lying areas start to have a lot of ponding water. As bad as that sounds, it's really not nearly as deadly or dangerous as when you have those streams that, you know, rage
right
way out of their banks, and they can, you know, cause a lot of destruction. Standing water is no fun, and it can definitely damage some property. But take that over rushing water any day.
Right. So then presumably how fast it all melts will then determine, like, the Red River Valley level of flooding this year. I mean, we just don't know yet because it's just not really melted yet.
Yeah, they've melted some, and now they're kind of have a second season.
Okay.
It's the James River and the Missouri River out in North Dakota that are really going to get.
Oh.
Those are the ones that are really going to get socked by this next wave of precipitation. They're in a, honestly, I'll just say they're in a bad situation because their farmers can't get anywhere near their fields right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Not even a, no prayer of that in the, you know, probably for 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and speaking of raging river, I just want to point out this is going to be a marquee waterfall season along the North Shore.
Oh.
This is going to be a real winter. Think of all that snow. Think, you know,
right
up on the Superior Ridge, all your friends up there, Isabella, Brimson, Finland, over to Lutzen, and then even we know that there's a station, it's a Coco Raz, volunteer observer station near Grand Marais. Just to the west of town, up the hill, 160 inches of snow on the year, which is, they're actually, that's getting up there for Minnesota. We don't have too many instances of communities getting more snow than that.
Yeah.
And this is all going to come down. So I'm thinking, you know, take your favorite Cascade and just time your visit there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, from a safe distance with when, you know, with a few days after all that snow melts. And it's going to be beautiful. I mean, Pigeon Falls is going to be outstanding up there on the border.
Oh, that's something great to look forward to.
Yeah, I think even the breakup at Gooseberry will be something to behold this year.
Fantastic.
So,
and then
yeah.
Do you have any kind of a do you see a warm-up coming that will is significant enough to mention at this juncture?
Yeah, I mean, so Saturday's going to get kind of warm. I mean, I think that there's, I don't know how far north that warm air is going to make it. It's definitely going to make it up to, like, Pine City and Cloquet. We're going to probably have 60 and maybe even 70-degree temperatures, and especially so same latitude but a little farther west out towards, you know, Bemidji or Brainerd, Walker, that area. That Saturday, we're going to melt a lot of ice and snow, at least in the central part of Minnesota. We might have 80s in southwestern Minnesota. This is one of the reasons we're looking at severe thunderstorm potential.
Right.
But then we're going to get into a cold front's going to come through. And it's actually going to come through It's going to, you know, first it's going to be like, okay, it's a little cooler, and then the temperature's really going to drop. I think we'll be back into the 20s over much of Minnesota during some mornings next week, Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday morning, maybe even the teens.
Yeah.
In those areas where it's kind of low-lying. So, yeah, a fleeting brush with warm weather on Saturday, and then we kind of return back into this pattern that we've been in.
Okay, well, we don't want to end this interview without discussing a little bit Earth Day, and
it's
a big deal. It's happening. We have a big cleanup here on Saturday, or Sunday now. It's been moved.
You know, the history of Earth Day is kind of interesting, and it was really giant protest, essentially. It was a coordinated protest across the world.
Huh.
I think it was one of the biggest on record, maybe 20 million people out, estimated. So that, and you know, at the time, nobody knew anything about the climate. It was all about pollution.
Yeah.
It was all about, you know, there had been some coastal oil spills. There was a lot of hazardous waste and toxic waste, and people were noticing that industrial facilities were always located in poor areas. So there was kind of some of the beginnings of the environmental justice movement. And then, of course, folks in the 60s had started to see this footage of the Cuyahoga River and other rivers, but the Cuyahoga River in Ohio famously started on fire. And the one that got everyone's attention, that was like actually the 12th or 13th or 11th time that it had burst into flames because of all of the flammable residues that had been pumped into that river. So so it's really a different story at the time. And now, of course, the changing climate has become, you know, kind of an integral part of the environmental movement. And we know that when you think of, you know, environmental risks and risks to our natural world, you have to think of how the climate is changing and how human activity has changed the climate. And, of course, scientists have a much better understanding of all of this. We know, for example, you know, in 1970 on the first Earth Day, there was a handful of scientists who understood at least could speculate that fossil fuel combustion would produce more carbon dioxide, which would lead to higher global temperatures. But they didn't realize that they were actually already observing it happening. And it wasn't until, mostly the 80s and beyond that scientists became increasingly sure that that's what we were seeing and that it was already underway. And, of course, now it's essentially unequivocal, and we know that, you know, it's going to keep rising until humans figure out how to stop burning fossil fuels. The only other options, Katya, would be if people don't figure out how to do that, then, maybe a huge volcano or an asteroid hitting the Earth. Those would put enough dust into the atmosphere to cool things down, but then you'd have more, you know, that would just be catastrophic.
Yeah.
And, of course, a full-scale global war could also do that. But you know you're in kind of a bad situation when your next three things on the list that could, quote, help are, major volcano, an asteroid striking the planet, or war. So, you know, I think it's important. People should check out the Minnesota Climate Action Framework. That's what the state government is trying to do and trying to plan, along with, you know, lots of stakeholder, input from the people.
Yes.
Still available. So check out the Minnesota Climate Action Framework if you're not already involved. Just kind of see if you can give any input to that. And on Earth Day, you know, a little bit of civic engagement goes a long way.
Yeah, thank you.
That's my soapbox for the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have high hopes we're not going to need a volcano or a global war. I think,
we
got to step it up, and we are stepping it up, and we got to step it up more. And it's, I think it's happening. So,
right.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.